Throwing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Self Selects Football, helping to develop the stars of tomorrow today. And by Paul Walden at Royal LePage in Regina. If you want to get in the real estate game, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355.
And just ahead of my interview with Coach Craig Dickinson of your Saskatchewan Roughriders as we get ready for the draft at the end of the month, I wanted to also give a shout out to Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan for their support of Growing the Game with Ballsy as we try to keep this sport alive through this tough time of COVID-19. And we know on the other side, football at the grassroots level will return stronger than ever. And that's what this podcast is all about, supporting our grassroots football. But of course, our grassroots football is on hold. We will highlight some of the athletes at the amateur level while the game is right now in hiatus. We're also going to talk with Riders head coach Craig Dickinson and other guests as we continue to prepare for what we're hoping is another CFL season. Well, up until a couple of weeks ago, we were rolling along with this guy on a weekly basis. Riders head coach Craig Dickinson on Sports Cage Sunday. That show will be back once we return to normal life in general and in the sporting world. But for now, we're going to talk to him in segments. And normally we'd be talking on the couch. So this is on the couch with Coach Craig Dickinson. Coach, I guess first off, yesterday was National Beer Day. Are you a beer guy?
I do like a cold beer every once in a while. Yes.
Yeah. So, what's your beer of choice if you had to have one? What are you drinking?
You know what? There's some really good ones, but my favorite is a local beer here made down in Montana called Cold Smoke. And there's a picture of a guy on the front of it who looks like he's skiing through like that white cloud of smoke, and that's that Cold Smoke snow. So that's my favorite. It's a Scotch ale. It's a dark one. And it's got a little bit of kick to it. So that's my favorite.
That's awesome. But hey, so are you cutting your own hair? Like, what are you doing to keep up your appearance? Or are you going man from the woods look?
I am cutting my hair. In fact, I gave myself a trim just the other day. It's amazing you said, I can't believe you noticed from Regina. But I appreciate that.
Was it flawless? Like, did you do a good job or what?
I think so. I mean, I just shave it, so it's not that hard.
Have you
take the clippers out and go front to back and back to front? That's about it.
Hey, have you used the chair at the stadium there in the facility? Have you got your hair cut there at the stadium?
No, I have not done that. I just don't feel like I need to go in there and waste people's time with the small amount of hair I have. I can do that in the washroom.
You're like me. We're about the same age and the same hairline, which is, yeah. I like to say it's because we have a lot of intelligence and the brain is forcing the hair out. Maybe that's the way to look
well,
at it.
Well, right? There's an old saying, Michael, the grass doesn't grow on a busy street. And we're pretty smart cats, you and I.
Hey, Coach, I know you've always appreciated the fans, but do you agree with this statement? I think we're really going to appreciate what they bring to the table after this. I watched WrestleMania the other day, just a couple of segments. They did the WrestleMania gig, and there were no fans, and they did their best, but fans sure add to it. I think we're really going to appreciate what fans bring to the table when this is all said and done.
Yeah, I agree. And I think our fans in Canada are the best. They love their football, and it's really a special environment at all stadiums. I certainly feel like our stadium is the best experience, but at all stadiums in the CFL, it's just a really neat experience. And the fans bring energy, and they support you win, lose, or draw for the most part in the CFL. And I think after this is all said and done, we'll be very happy to get the fans back in the stadiums and get everybody back together again.
Now, we kind of touched on this in an earlier interview we did on Sports Cage Sunday, but coaches may be the best equipped, Coach Dickey, to deal with isolation. You live a lonely life as it is. What tips do you have for the average person to stay disciplined now, including those working from home?
Yeah, it's really routine. That's why coaches are natural at this sort of thing. It's just we have a routine and we kind of do the same thing every day. So that would be my advice to folks getting in the swing of things from home. It's just develop a routine. Get up early and kind of have your way of going about doing things and try to stay to that. I think it's important to throw in a little workout during the day. So midday, I will try to get up and either go for a walk or hike the mountain or do something outside because you do get kind of in a rut. But that's the main thing that works for coaches is we have a routine and we tend to do the same thing each and every day, and it keeps us busy and it keeps us productive and it keeps us focused.
I see guys like Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs has kind of set up a bunker in his basement with a treadmill. Describe what Craig Dickinson's setup looks like there in Montana.
Yeah, I saw that too, by the way. That was neat. mine's pretty simple. I live alone, so I basically just set up my office right at the kitchen table. I got a nice view outside, so I can see outside in the backyard. And the coffee pot is always full and hot, so that's my setup. And if it's too cold, I've got a wood-burning stove. I'll get some fire going and just make it nice and cozy. I don't like a lot of noise, so you won't hear a lot of music in my house. I like to keep it fairly quiet, and that's my workstation.
Craig, you talked about maybe go for a hike or go outside. I picture you putting on, like, taking a pot of coffee, going outside, putting on a flannel shirt, and chopping some wood.
Yeah, you know, I do have myself a nice little stash of wood. It's getting a little low, though. Usually about this time of year, I'm heading north, so. I don't think I'll need a lot of wood the rest of the way because it is starting to get warm. But yes, I do love to do that. And every winter, I'll go out and get a big load of wood from the lumber yard, and I usually get the big round pieces of wood. And then I like to split it and stack it myself. So my dad, when I was growing up, my dad had a plaque above the dishwasher in the kitchen, and it said, "He who cuts his own wood is twice warmed," and I've always remembered that. So I think that applies to me. You get warm when you're chopping the wood, and then you get warm when you're burning it.
I'd like to be in a dressing room with you when you gave a speech with all these one-liners you're throwing out there. I love it, my friend.
Yeah, that one, I don't know what, I'm a little bit like Cliff Clavin. You remember the old Cheers guy? He's got that useless trivia in his head. That's one of those. For some reason, I remember that as a kid, and it's always stuck with me.
Before we get to the draft and today or yesterday's announcement that the season was being pushed back officially till July, let's talk about this question. Is it easier? Actually, let me say it to you this way. Do you find more out about people in adverse conditions or when times are prosperous?
You definitely find out more when things are going rough. So, you know, the old saying that adversity builds character. I've also heard adversity reveals character. So I think when the times are tough and things are a little bit out of rhythm, I think you learn a lot about people. So this will be interesting to see, you know, if people can hunker down and have the discipline to stay away from each other and to social distance. I know I went out shopping the other day and there's people still too close to each other. People still too close to me, to be quite honest. I wanted to like put my arm out and say, "Back off." Mm-hmm. And I think people are kind of taking this thing seriously, but I think we can do better. So I hope we do a little bit better in the next few weeks.
I'm glad you brought that up to give a line that I used to use when I was coaching youth football. When we'd lose a game, I'd say, "Listen, this doesn't, you know, things like this don't define your character, but they reveal your character. Like, how are you going to go forward?" That type of stuff. And I think we'll find out we're going to find out a lot about people, a lot about businesses, a lot about how they treat their employees, how things work moving forward when we get through to this on the other side, which of course we will eventually. Okay, so Coach, how many hours of tape do you watch in a day?
Well, a lot of it just depends. During the season, I watch a ton, but during the off season, if I've got some scheduling stuff to do, I won't watch as much. But I try to watch at least 2 or 3 hours every day on the draft, and some days are going to be longer. Like as it gets closer to the end here, I'm going to put in more time. Mm-hmm. But I try to watch 2 or 3 hours of tape, and that usually gives me a chance to go through about 5 or 6 players each day. And during the season, certainly a lot more tape than that, but that's about how much I watch during the off season, during the draft.
Coach, how creative have some of these guys gotten with their tapes, their combine tapes? Because they obviously can't go to a regular combine, so they got to come up with tapes and send them to you guys. Now, maybe Jeremy looks at more of those than you, but I'm assuming, like you said, it's really a collaboration, so you get to see it. Have you seen some creative tapes and how these guys have done a good job? Because I know I talk
a little bit, but you're right. Jeremy looks more at the combine stuff than I do. I look more at the game tape just because I have it all on my computer, but I will say this: I've gotten some emails from guys, and they've sent me links to their workouts. There's an Australian kid that's a punter in the global draft that sent me a couple of links to his tape, and I asked him, "Hey, can you show me punting into the wind?" And he said, "Sure thing, coach." And 2 days later, I got an email from him with a link, and he's got a buddy with him, and he's punting into this gale force wind, and he's got a windsock out there in the middle of the field, so I can see that the wind's blowing in his face. So there's been some stuff like that, and guys are doing a good job of trying to make sure that you know who they are and that you got a pretty good feel for their athleticism. And without the combines, it's been a little more of a challenge this year to figure that out.
Coach Craig Dickinson joining us here for a couple more minutes here on Sports Cage. Normally joins us on Sports Cage Sunday, which will return once we're done with this brutal COVID-19. Hey, they say there's a saying, since we're talking about sayings in this interview, they say the eye in the sky doesn't lie. But let me ask you, does a tape lie? Like, can you see enough on tape to see if a guy is good or the right fit for your team?
The tape for the most part can, but you know, you can be wrong on a guy, and it usually just has to do with athleticism. That's why it is nice to see somebody in person, to really watch them move, and do drills, you know, in person, so you can look at them right there and there. But the eye in the sky doesn't lie too often, and it doesn't lie when it comes to professional athletes. When you watch game film, usually you can tell who's the best, and who had a good game based on the film. But I will say this, there is something to be said about putting your eyes on a guy in person, especially when it comes to kickers and punters, the ability to hear the ball and to actually see it in flight. That's important. So I would say that personal evaluation is still much needed in the process.
Okay, I just picked up on something there. Hear the ball. Tell me about, I know you really take special teams to the next level, which I like because I think it's a forgotten part of the game. We always say, there's three parts of the game, but it seems like we forget about that third part, the kicking game, a lot of times. What do you mean by hear the ball, and what's the difference there?
Well, you can tell leg strength oftentimes by the sound of the contact. Similar to a guy who's really physical on the football field, you can hear the contact as opposed to seeing it. So that's the same way with punting. There's just certain guys, John Ryan is one of them, that when they hit the ball clean, it just sounds different. It's a boom. It's a real heavy sound when he hits the football. And so you know right away he's got really good leg strength. And that's something that you can't see on film. You know, you can just hear a guy who strikes it solid as opposed to sometimes seeing it. So you can definitely make an evaluation based on that.
Coach, can you give me an example in your coaching career of a player that far exceeded your expectations, you know, where you're like, okay, this guy might be something, and holy cow, he's something.
Well, the guy most recently that did was Gagne, Alexander Gagne, that played for us these last 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a guy that we brought into minicamp in Florida that we just thought, well, he's been a very productive CIS player. He played at Sherbrooke, and we felt like maybe he gives us some depth in training camp. And he just kept getting better and better and better. And by the end of, you know, by the end of his run there last year, he was our top special teams tackler. He was our third or fourth highest point getter in terms of our points. So that was a guy in the recent past that I felt like really exceeded our expectations. And then when I think about guys over the course of my career, another one, and it's a name you know, in Calgary, the running back, John Cornish.
Right.
John Cornish, we knew Cornish was good. I mean, he played at Kansas, right, and he was, I think, the all-time leading rusher when he left. But he was just one of these guys that was kind of under the radar a little bit. In turn, he wasn't real flamboyant. He didn't say a lot. And then when he got to Calgary, he was behind Joffrey Reynolds, so he didn't play a lot of running back. He played a lot of special teams. And then, boy, when he got his chance, he just exploded. And we knew he was good, but he's Hall of Fame good. And that was something that, at the time, we weren't sure he was going to be that good. But John Cornish, one of the best players I've ever coached. And in just his first initial impression was just kind of a laid-back, easygoing guy, but boy, when you put the ball in his hands, he turned into a beast. So those are two guys that stand out in my mind.
Coach Dickinson, the NFL is doing a virtual draft with no gathering of personnel. Like, you're just drafting from your homes, individual people. Typically, what does a draft look like in terms of procedure for you, the setup and the logistics? Like, I know you're not the same. I've often said the CFL needs to make a bigger deal of their first round and do it kind of like at a Casino Regina setting. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year. But what does the setup look like for you, and how is it affected by this COVID-19, if it is?
Yeah, we usually would go into. I'd be in Regina during the draft, and we'd have it in our offices, in our we call it our war room, which is our big meeting room where all the coaches and football ops people meet. And we'd have a board, a board in front of us with all the names of the players ranked 1 through 100, and we'd have a board next to that where they'd be ranked by position, and then we'd have probably a board next to that where we would have maybe some concerns about guys injury-wise that were on the board. So, yeah, this year's going to be different because it's really nice to have all of that in front of you. And as you're drafting guys and as other teams are drafting guys, guys are coming off the board. And this year it's going to be just a little different. So I'm not sure exactly how it's going to look, but I know we'll be doing it probably remotely. And Jeremy and I and Chad Hudson and Kyle Carson, all of our personnel guys, are going to be, I think, probably just logging in from their own computers because of this COVID-19. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get even 2 or 3 guys together. So I think it'll be fine. It'll just be different.
Yeah,
but I think it'll work out.
I wonder because NFL teams are like the NFL. It's always looking over my shoulder. What's going on? Anybody looking at me? And with the way things get hacked, NFL teams are worried that their stuff might get hacked at the draft going into it. I don't know if there's that concern in the CFL at all.
You know what? I don't think so. I think we'll probably be all right. But you know what's interesting? This is kind of an interesting story. When I was in the NFL in San Diego, the draft was. It was still a big deal, but it wasn't like it is now. But it was starting to get televised, and so you'd see all these people in New York, and each team would have their own table. You remember that?
Right.
And what's crazy is the guys at our table when I was in San Diego were our strength coach and our assistant strength coach, guys that had nothing to do with coaching the football players. They were just our strength coaches. And crazy enough, all of the big dogs, the GM, the head of personnel, the head coach, the coordinators were all back home in San Diego in the war room getting the draft thing going. And if you didn't know any better, you'd look at the table and think, that must be the general manager, that must be the team president. And it was actually our assistant strength guy that nobody even knew his name. Well, he was the guy giving the names to Roger Goodell.
I heard a story once that Don Matthews, when he was with the Edmonton Eskimos, got up in the middle of the draft and went to the bathroom and got Dwayne Mandruziak, their longtime outstanding equipment guy, to make a pick. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true.
I wouldn't put it past the Don. He was a beauty. I'm sure he had the pick already figured out, but he said, Dwayne, I would like you to announce.
Probably.
Dwayne probably did.
Hey, okay, so a couple last...
some funny stories, though.
Yeah.
Go on back there.
Yeah, for sure. A couple more quick questions for you, Coach, that we'll let you go. How much does this affect your relationship between Jason Moss, your new offensive coordinator, and your starting quarterback, Cody Fajardo? We know how important the relationship is with the OC and the quarterback. It's a new relationship. How much is this going to affect them? Because they got to have a kind of a getting to know each other period.
Yeah. Well, it just delays it. That's the one thing. I will say this. The offensive staff and our defensive coaches, they've all done a really good job of staying in touch with the players, touching base with him every couple of weeks. I know Jason's been setting up actual meetings with his quarterbacks. And so I think they're well on their way, Michael, to having a really good relationship. I think it's going to delay the actual, being in the same room physically together and getting the chance to talk football. But I do know Jason's reached out. They've visited over the phone. They've done some video conferencing as well. So I think it's going to be fine, but it does delay the actual in-person stuff that certainly helps build a team and helps cement a relationship.
What do you think, though? Do you honestly believe, Craig, that in July we'll be playing football? I just and nobody knows, right? But it doesn't.
Yeah, nobody knows, and I can't say too much because I know exactly the same thing you do. I read the same memos. I get an email on it before it hits the press, but it's the same email.
Yeah.
I just don't know, and I don't know what that means. Is that mean no practicing till July? Does that mean no games till July? I mean, that's the sort of stuff I think we still got to figure out. And I'm very hopeful. I mean, I read the email today that said it's the same as the press release that Mr. Ambrosi sent out. It's basically they're hopeful to play as many games as possible.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. But it's the different times, and nobody's really sure. You hate to... you hate to try to guess. You're just trying to just tough it out and keep your head down and work in the meantime.
And lastly, Coach, what does this do for a young guy coming up here? You know, we've talked about this in the past. One of the worst positions to play, let's just pick one position, being a defensive halfback in this league where you come up from the States, you're trying to figure things out. You don't have a free agent cap. You don't have a rookie cap. You got to come right in, maybe a compressed season, trying to make this football team. And, you know, you're a halfback. There's pre-snap motion that you probably haven't seen before, and you're covering more field. That would be crazy. Like, this has got to be a blow to the young guys trying to make the football team.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think making a CFL team as a rookie is one of the hardest things there is to do because camp is so short to begin with. But now, with everything being pushed back, I would be willing to guess that camp will probably be even a little shorter than it is normally. So anytime you've got a rookie that's coming up trying to learn a new game with new rules and new techniques, if he doesn't get two or three weeks to show that he can do it, it's really tough to make a team. So I think that's where you're going to see, the casualties of all this COVID-19 is for the young guy, the rookie that wants to try to make a team. I think it's going to be really tough this year.
Coach, I'm going to leave you with something Chris Jones used to say, keep chopping wood, my friend.
Thank you. I will do that. I appreciate the call.
Take care, buddy. See ya.